Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
I want to start this morning with a quick show of hands. Has anyone here has ever tried or wanted to get even with someone? Wow, everyone? Perhaps maybe someone just cut you off on the road, or just running very, very slow, or, you know, maybe someone just steals your parking spot, or you've been waiting in a long line and somebody just come and stand in front of you and take your spot. Or maybe even worse, someone steal your lunch in the office fridge. It happened here at church. But I must admit, I've the one being stealing Pastor Charlie's lunch. Sorry, Charlie. You know, we live in a world that's obsessed with getting even. You know, from social media feuds to reality TV drama to our sports arena and the likes. And everyone's to settle the score. But Jesus, he flips the script by saying this: don't get even, instead get better. And we're going to unpack what that means as we continue with our sermon series. Jesus said, "Kweha?" What? Yeah, in English it's what. And the reason why you can hear my what is what? Because Pastor Stan said it so much better, with a lot of energy and enthusiastic, and his tone, his voice, and his body expression. I can't do it better. That's why it's safer to me. It's more that I say it in Tonga, but that's all it is. Jesus said what? You know, we're coming to the fourth week of the six-week series, where we look at six phrases that we find in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, that has six saying, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, but I say to you, just check your heart when you deal with anger, because they'll both be judged." And he said, "You shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that you keep an eye on what you see in the lust that comes from your mind when you see somebody, because you already commit adultery. Anyone who divorces his wife and do this and all of that." But Jesus said, "I want you to guard your heart. Guard your heart and protect so that you do not fall into that. Do not break your oath. Just make sure you don't give false promise or pretend. Let your yes be yes and your no be no." And if you missed those messages, I want to encourage you to go to our social platform and download the YouTube. Watch, like, and then share it with someone and bless them with those beautiful messages. And today, we're going to come to the fifth one in Matthew 5, 38, 42. And we're going to try and understand the context, the text, to understand the revengeful culture where radical love is found. Because this is one of the most radical aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to come to today. And let's read with me in Matthew 5, 38 to 42. "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth." And we're going to prepare, just warn you that we're going to practice that today. Okay? Just watch out who you're sitting next to. You can start moving now while I read. "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slap you on the right cheek," don't do it now, just hold off to it until I tell you, "turn them the other cheek also," just hold off to it. "And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat," put them outside. "You have heard, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, do some exercise, go another mile. You get fitter. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Jesus is here addressing a culture that's quite steep in the lore of retaliation. We want to echo that again. It's a lot more that we read in Exodus 21, 30, 25 to 25. But if there is a serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise, and you can add more. There's so much more in there. It was a principle of justice, a way to limit revenge so that punishment was proportional and didn't escalate. You know, imagine the Lord Keeper trying to make it harder, you know, charge $1 million for stealing a car, something like that, to try and limit it from escalating. It was about fairness, about making sure that people didn't take the law into their own hands and cause endless cycle of retaliation. But here is the thing. Even that fair system still revolves around get even. Get even. If someone hurts you, hurt them back. If someone takes from you, you take something else from them. It's this for that. It's a zero-sum game where the goal is to balance the scale, the scorecard. And honestly, that's how most of us live today. When someone offends you, we want to get even. If a coworker disrespects us, we might gossip about them and avoid them, not talking to them. If someone cuts us off in traffic, we might beep the horn or even try to cut them off back. If someone hurts us emotionally, we might hold grudges and retaliate with harsh words. And the problem with this mindset is that it keeps us stuck in a cycle of bitterness and anger and pain, and it doesn't bring peace or healing to us. It just fuels more conflict. And this was about justice, making sure punishment fits the crime. But Jesus said, no, no, no. I want you to just, don't just stop there. I want to go beyond. Don't get even. So why would Jesus say such things? Don't get even. Firstly, because revenge keeps you stuck in there. When you get even, you're still tied to the offense. It's become a part of who you are. You are still reliving the past and ruminate. Keep saying, replaying the hurt, and you're planning your comeback. It's like carrying a backpack full of rocks and you think you are throwing each stone to someone else, and yet you are carrying the rocks yourself and the burden, the heaviness you're still carrying with you. And Jesus' teaching emphasized that we believers should not take justice into our own hands or seek to repay evil with evil. A couple of months ago in Sydney, in a little town called Greenvale, the four siblings were charged after a vigilante attack. Sounds like a coffee club, Starbucks coffee, isn't it? Vigilante. In Green Valley, following the theft of one of the family cars during the night. A week or so went past. They didn't get a reply from the police. They were a little bit slow. And so instead of leaving the police to do their work, this family decide to do something. They were able to track where the car is by a secret device that they hide under the wheel. And they went this time, go back again at night. And they found the two suspects and they beat them up. One ran for his life and the other one got stabbed. And these four siblings, I'm not ashamed to say they're Tongans. They're my family. We're gone from the friendly island of Tonga. You better watch out for the Tongan. Just don't mess around with the Tongans, the Samoans, and they're all okay, just the Tongans. Just don't mess around. They got their car back. Car's okay. But they stuck with a sense of guilt of what they did. Because they wanted to take justice in their own hands, to pay evil for evil. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And according to our scripture, particularly verse 29, he's calling his follower to a higher standard, which is the second reason why he said what he said. And what is it? This is a radical response from a radical person that we know, Jesus. He said, don't resist a person that is evil. Oops. What does that mean, Jesus? Are you telling us that we just become a doormat, that people can just walk over our lives and we just sit there and let them beat us up? You know, I used to be a crowd controller working in the pubs and the nightclubs as a bouncer. And I was one of those main guys that stand at the door of the main bar at a nightclub, and I work all night on a weekend while I'm doing my Bible study at the Bible College in Victoria. It was fun. We needed money. But every week, I'm not looking forward to go to work. And Anne will often give me a few shirts because I always come with blood in my shirts. And I always not looking forward to the job because I always tempted to retaliate. It's a job that you need a full bucket of patience. And because intoxicated and crazy people know the deal that you cannot touch them until you touch you, then you can protect yourself. And so they know that. So when I get to stop them at the door or force them out, you know, I keep being called so many names, and some of them spit on my face and then tell me to go back home to where I come from, and all, some of them even push me to a point I lost my cool. I lost my cool. And I got this man on the ground outside, a little bit of dark. Nobody was looking. All my bouncers, they're all busy doing other things. And I got him onto the ground and I stepped my foot gently on his throat. And I say nicely, if you say that again to me, you know what I'm going to do next. Nicely, did you hear me? He said nicely. Following week, and then after, this man came and hi. Then eventually we become good friends. Every time we see each other, we do those fist bump. And we know each other. Do not resist the evil person. Is Jesus telling us to be dormant and let people just walk over our lives just like that? No, Jesus is calling us to a higher standard, a higher way, a way that breaks the cycle of revenge and retaliation. Look at the example that he gives. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. If they sue you or your shirt, give them your coat. They force you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. If they ask you to borrow, turn them away. Now let's pause there for a moment. Let's say that your neighbor believes in, say, Buddhism or in some kind of nature-based spirituality, and they come to you and ask you if they can bring a lot of their belongings, some of their belongings, to leave in your house, because they're currently going through some renovation in the house. What would you do? Do you know what they believe? Get even is to turn them away. I'm sorry, but there is no room in the house. But that's not the reason. It's just because they are different. They don't allow them. But if you get better, according to Jesus, you do not resist and turn them away. Each of these examples shows Jesus inviting us to respond with grace and generosity and unexpected kindness rather than retaliation. He did it himself. You know the story. Jesus called us to live differently, not because it's easy, but because you don't have room, not because it's easy, but because it's kingdom living. When you don't get even, you break the cycle of violence and bitterness. You show the world a better way. And he's saying, with you as my followers, don't get even, get better instead. So what does it look like in practice? First, he said, turn the other cheek. That is practical, radical forgiveness. Remember, This forgiveness, you cannot teach in a psychology session room. This is godly forgiveness. When your spouse or partner says something hurtful or make a mistake, turning other cheek means choosing forgiveness and patience instead of revenge and holding grudges. A way of building a stronger relationship by refusing to escalate conflict and instead growing in love and understanding. This doesn't mean you are a doormat. It means that you choose forgiveness over bitterness. When someone hurts you, you can say, I'm not going to let this define who I am. Forgiveness frees you to move forward. Forgiveness, like when your sibling borrows your favorite hoodie for the third time without asking and then spills coffee on it. So you want to yell and scream, but instead you just smile and say, it's okay, sister, I'll forgive you, but the coffee will be on you next time. I got you. Have you ever thought about offering forgiveness as a gift? I used to run forgiveness class, very detailed forgiveness class in Essendon Baptist Church, where I was serving previously, and this person struggle with the area of forgiveness every time she go and see her sister. She was struggling. She always come with a plan. I plan for forgiveness. She come with a plan of retaliation. I should do this. I do this. She doesn't deserve to be treated by his older sister this way. We work on forgiveness. And then I said to her, what are you preparing before you go? I don't know, but a lot of it's, I just want to punch you in the face. We work on forgiveness, I say. Have you ever fought about offering forgiveness as a gift? So when you get out the car and when you're ready to go, you know she's not gonna ask for it, but you're just gonna come prepared to offer it to her. It's almost like you just come and give it to her without asking for it. So you get to practice. It was hard, but eventually it changes her life. That she was looking forward to go, because it doesn't matter what reply she get, she's too prepared to offer the forgiveness. It's called altruistic. You give without asking. Have you ever thought about offering that the best gift that you can give to someone who's hurting you? The second thing is go the extra mile, that go beyond what is expected. It says if someone forces you to go 1 mile, let's go another extra. This is about generosity and it's about grace. In Jesus' time, the Roman soldiers could force civilians to carry their gear for 1 mile, and the given response would be to complain and resist and grumble. But Jesus say, no, go another extra mile, showing excellence and grace. You know, imagine your boss asks you to stay for another hour one day. Instead of grumping, you stay an extra hour with a smile, showing some excellence and grace in your work. The lesson here that going to extra mile isn't just about obedience. It's about growing in character and showing God's love in practical ways. When we respond with kindness, it somehow kind of disarms the hostility that we lock ourselves and stuck in. You get better by growing in patience and you grow in love. And the third thing is give when asked. Be generous. Let's say forgiving and helping in an adversary. Imagine a coworker who has wronged you and asking for help on a project after some bad experience in the last few weeks. Instead of withholding assistance, you generously offer your time and resources, embodying Jesus' call to go beyond what is owed even to those who have hurt you. What about responding to a personal insult or slight with kindness? That if someone insults you or treats you unfairly, rather than retaliating or holding a grudge, you respond with kindness and generosity, such as lending a needed hand and love that overcomes bitterness. What about rejecting vindictiveness in favor of grace? Then instead of reject, like the Tongan, my family, Tongan sibling in Green Valley, seeking revenge or only doing the bare minimum to make things right, you choose to exceed expectation, showing a heart transformed by Jesus, teaching to love and give generously even to those who have wronged you. They had 3 or 4 other cars. Anyway, Jesus' teaching in Matthew's gospel call us for a radical. And I keep using the word radical because it's a hard thing for us to bite in the world, in the human mind, to do these kind of things that the world don't live on. It's radical. Generosity that transcends justice and retaliation. And what it means is that by giving freely and generously to those who ask, including those who have hurt us, reflecting a spirit of grace rather than vengeance. So this generosity is not about being naive or enabling harm, but about embodying a higher kind of righteousness that Jesus teaches, that chooses love and grace over retaliation. By the way, you know that neighbor story that I told earlier? It was me. I was the neighbor in that story. We had floods early in the year, about early February, and me and Anne, been enjoying a holiday in our garage for the last 3 months. And only earlier this week that insurance finally finished the work, that we're able to move inside before winter comes. And when the burst piped that day, and we had to switch the water off, and went off for 48 hours, nearly 2 days. No water. So I went to my next door neighbor. They are very strong, committed Islamic family. Knock on the door and I ask, explain what happened. And I say, can I come and get some water from your tap in front to use during whenever until we get our water going? And he did 3 things. Firstly, he gave me a yes, you can. Secondly, he think it wasn't enough for me just to bring a bucket. He went an extra mile and he put a hose around the back of the house and he ran across and went under the fence and get over to my backyard so that I can just walk around the back, fill it whenever I can. He turned it on and used it. So convenient, I don't have to go around the front, carry the bucket. It was just that convenient, it was close to us. But guess what the third thing he did that touched my heart and remind me? We gave him a gift to pay for the water used. He said no. He refused it. Oh my goodness, as a pastor, he taught me and reminded me a lesson. Generosity is a way to get better spiritually and emotionally and practically. And when you give, you break the grip of selfishness and fear of people who are different. You open your heart to God's abundance. Amazing. Let me drive this point home. You're at work and someone steals your lunch. The get even respond is to steal their lunch next time. But a get better response, bring an extra lunch and a snacks and go and put it on their desk with a note saying, sharing is caring. Confuse them with kindness until they don't know what hit them. The next day they'll come and put a coffee on your table. The cycle of revenge breaks, replaced by an unexpected kindness. You're stuck in traffic and someone cuts you off and going very slowly. Your first instinct to flip them off or beep the horn like a maniac and maybe even send a few unkind thoughts or put your hand out and instead of wave, you do something different. But what about if you practice patience? Maybe you use that time to put the music on and sing your favorite song of worship that talk about patience and sing at the top of your lungs and concentrate on that. The bonus is that you get a mini concert and your patience muscles worked out really, really well. Let me sum it up by saying it this way. marriage gets better when embracing forgiveness. Yeah. We grow spiritually and experiencing an inner peace only God, Jesus, has promised to give the world cannot give. We experience freedom in bitterness, turning from bitterness simply by replacing retaliation with forgiveness, which strengthening trust and intimacy in our relationship with one another and with God. It encourages mutual respect for one another and patience to be a part of who we are. It helps a couple grow through conflict rather than be divided by it. Community gets better when practicing active nonviolence. We know in our community here there's been some terrible things happening recently with violence. We grow spiritually by overcoming evil with good. It reduces violence and fosters a spirit of unity when we try to get better as a community together. Inspire collective responsibility, and together as a community, we share with one another and support and protect one another. Workplace gets better when embracing non-retaliation. It encourages some kind of professionalism in what we do and emotional intelligence, and it reduces workplace conflict and improves our collaboration in the workforce. But we model leadership that values mercy and grace and fairness over retaliation, and people outside can only see something radical by the way we live it in our workplace. Catalyst gets better when we embracing non-retaliating, retaliation forgiveness, when we cultivate generosity in who we are, building community, and prepare always for reconciliation. Let's come back to reconcile with one another and with God, because we grow deeper into our discipleship and how we grow and encourage one another. Humility brings bridges instead of walls. That's important. It's about building bridges instead of walls. We create a culture of peace and mutual support in our community. We promote a social harmony and cooperation, and we become more an irresistible church. You know, at Catalyst here, we are about transformation. We are about catalyzing change in our lives and change in our communities. And this passage challenges us to stop the cycle of this for that. In our relationship, we are encouraged and challenged to be people who choose His grace over our grudges. We are led to have the challenges to lead with love in a world that often leads with anger and hatred. Imagine our Catalyst families. What would it look like if every Catalyst families in this room decided to don't get even, but get better in a home? Imagine what our Catalyst ministry would look like if all our leaders and our volunteers and our members decided not to get even, but get better. Imagine what all the workplaces that our Catalyst members are working would look like if our members decide not to get even, but get better with their fellow workers. Imagine our neighborhood, what would it look like where Catalyst people live, whether it's Werribee or Tiny or Hoppers Crossing, wherever. What would it look like if our Catalyst resident decided not to get even, but get better with their neighborhood and the community? Imagine what would it look like when Catalyst gets better, the world around us gets better. Are you with me? When Catalyst gets better, the world gets better. Closing challenge. I want you to go and get better today, daily. And this week, I want to challenge you to go and pick one situation, one or two where you usually want to get even. Instead, choose to get better. Forgive. Go the extra miles. Be generous. Simply respond with kindness. Remember, Jesus isn't just asking for your behavior. He's inviting you and I into a new way of life, a better way that is go and get better. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. It's a prayer this morning that you help us to know what does it mean to get better? What does it mean to resist people who are might seem evil in our sight? What does it mean to go extra mile beyond what is expected? How to make a radical forgiveness in our relationship and with others? How can we be kind when people are hurting our feelings, our egos? And so, Lord, I just want to pray. If there's anyone in this room that are still carrying that bitterness in their heart, that grudges because of someone who has done wrong and hurt, whether it's 6 months or 6 years or 6 days or 6 hours ago, Lord, we want to lay that at your feet, at the foot of the cross, and pray, God, that you take that burden off us. We want to be freedom. We want to be free, Lord, from that kind of baggage that we carry that is too heavy for us. Enlighten it, Lord. Take it, because you promised to take it, so that you give us that peace within, so that we can be empowered to be better in whatever we do. Lord, we want catalysts to change the world, but it starts with us deeply in our heart. And we just want to pray, God, humbly, thank you for your word. Continue to work on us, because when we get better, the world gets better, and God is pleased. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.